This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome to the Shepherd's Call. Call a friend or a neighbor. Tell them we're on the air. We've got great information. If we can get it all out to you tonight, we'll do this in a two-part series. Tonight we're going to attack the problem of the thousand-year reign, this controversial doctrine that the Bell Box Church is preaching to its people, soothing them with enticing words of man's wisdom, telling them not to worry and not to fret, that Christ has got to come down and reign 1,000 years before the end time. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to correct that error, that lie that comes from the serpent. Remember, the Bible says that day will come upon you unaware. And so it is with the evil ones and the deceived ones. They have no comprehensional understanding at all of what's going on in the end time when we have final judgment. Well, we hope we can stay on the air. Last night, the station was experiencing technical difficulties. A lot of people was trying to get on the net, and it was a very congested. Truth Radio was swamped with people trying to get in, and so by doing so, crashes the satellite and the downloaders, and so we've had some major problems here. But you see, we're in the last days, and people are trying to get the truth. They're trying to reach out to those that have the truth, and they have found by years of experience in the bell boxes where their fathers and mothers went and bowed the knee to Baal, and in this end-time terminal generation, there's no truth there anymore. It's the same old status quo. Decorate a Christmas tree. Yes, ladies and gentlemen. 31st of Halloween, the full moon. Oh, will the wolves howl? Will the demons rage and kick up their heels as the Christian church celebrates a festival on the 31st of this month, just a few days down the road? This is Thursday, October the 25th, as we see it tonight, praise Yahweh, in time relationship, 31st will be Halloween. You watch the Christians now warn their little demons as they go out to collect candy and wreak havoc in the communities to be very careful, the ones that will be permitted out. Most of them are going to stay in, we predict. It'll probably be one of the lightest attended festivals that old Satan has in his recollection. Why? Because there's a fear in the land. We're going to teach on the thousand-year reign tonight. Last night, we talked about the chain for part one. Tonight will be part two. Tomorrow night, we will try to wrap this series up on the thousand-year reign. We may not. We hope we do. There is so much information. Let me bring you up to date. And this shall coordinate our message tonight, and it will parallel our message as we talk about the beast and the thousand-year reign. In San Jose, California, software mogul Larry, and that's what I say, mogul, Larry Ellison's proposal to create a national identification card has gained substantial ground, and the interest of top Bush administration officials in a signal that the controversial ideal may be closer to reality than ever. Mr. Ellison is the chairman and chief executive officer of Oracle. And he said last week that he had met recently, listen, with U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft and officials at, guess what, the CIA, the FBI, and others in Washington, D.C. to discuss the ideal. Well, get a load of this. Senator Dianne Feinstein, need I say more, Democrat of California, has soundly endorsed it. Tech executives have jumped on board, and some prominent civil libertarians have said the ideal is well worth pursuing. We are in the process of putting a proposal together and analyzing what it would take to get something running in a small matter of or a number of months. Something in the neighborhood of 3 months, Ellison said. We think we could put up this technology and have it available very quickly. Now, here we go back to this ID card. Now, it's going to be, of course, voluntarily, but those that carry the card will be given priority service in the long lines that are forming for all types of transportation, Ellison said, and would have their thumb scanned by digital reader to verify their identity before boarding the transportation of America. These cards are also checked against a new, listen, national database. That database would link criminal and immigration data to screen out potential terrorists. Ellison introduced the ideal a few weeks ago and offered to donate the software. His company, based in Redwood City, California, had to offer. Well, ladies and gentlemen, notice that the physical, the material beast is keeping up with the spiritual beast that we'll talk about tonight, and we will try to tie the two together and show you what's coming down the road of reality as we go back. Call a friend. This is a very important message. This may just clear up the fog in the spiritual mind tonight of Jacob Israel, as we have been lied to deliberately by the bell box preachers and the conditioners as they close the doors of our perception and lull us back into this perpetual sleep like Rip Van Winkle, the house of Israel is. I saw an angel. We're in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelations to begin our quest for the truth of the thousand-year reign. I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. We covered the chain series last night. Told you that the chain was for a purpose. It's a restraining order given after the battle fought in the heavens. Now, when did this battle conclude? It only concluded, ladies and gentlemen, when the Messiah, Yahweh, entombed into a body of flesh, wrapped himself in a body of flesh, came down, suffered for 33.5 years, died at the hands of the evil Nakash, and then rose again and ascended back into heaven where he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. There you go. When he took the final command of the angels, the whole host of heaven, he then sat on the throne and took full control of the situation. Satan and his angels were cast out according to the scriptures of Revelations chapter 12, verse 7. Remember now, Yahweh our Messiah, Yahweh our Savior, had to be cast down into a tomb and prove his ability to raise again from the dead. Remember, Satan had the keys. And then in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, we read that Yahushua himself took the keys of hell and death and ascended victorious over Satan and his angels. Praise Yahweh. And then after this war, listen to me very carefully. This is very important. I'm going to open up things that has been kept secret from the foundation of the world. If you missed last night's message, I checked today in the archives where you can get us on 2000soundwaves.com. Click on the Shepherd's Call. Most of that message is there, but not all. We lost about 15 minutes of that message on the archives, or maybe a little bit more. Those of you who would like to have the rest of that message, I have that message here tonight in entirety and would mail you a cassette tape upon your request. Now, let us continue here in the Bible. And Michael and his angels that warred with Satan and his angels, the Bible said, laid hold on the dragon. Now, this is only after the Messiah arose from the dead. How do you know that, Pastor Buddy? I'll prove it to you before we conclude, hopefully tomorrow night. Laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Now, notice verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of the Messiah, and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, nor had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. It's very important for you to get that point. Now, remember, Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years, and these that have been redeemed from the earth, the first resurrection fruits of the resurrection power of the Messiah. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, I didn't know anybody rose with him. Well, we'll prove that. That in the first resurrection, when Christ arose, there was others that rose with him. Who was that? His bride. Who was Christ? The groom. John chapter 3, verse 29 through 31. We'll get into that message. Oh my, there's so much to cover. Satan has used his deceit to block out the understanding and the comprehension of the voice of Yahweh's prophets. But here we are. Let's go back to the chain as we go to the book of Jude, and we're going to verse 6 in the book of Jude. And the angels, here they are now, that kept not their first estate, but had left their own habitation, has been put under everlasting chains, under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Now remember, these are the angels that rebelled against Yahweh. And the angels, these ministering spirits, these generals at his command, the Elohim of the corporation of the galaxies, as I call them, the board convened, Satan and his angels were deemed unruly and unmanageable, and there ensued a war. And listen what the scripture says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, there you are, Sodom and Gomorrah, praise Yahweh, these he hath reserved into everlasting chains of darkness unto judgment. Now, what is the judgment? Let's go now to the 17th chapter of the book of Revelations and the 9th chapter as we take the chain off. You see, the 9th chapter of the book of Revelations should be where the 20th chapter is, and the 20th chapter should be where the 9th chapter is. I'll prove it to you as we go. Now listen, he was bound in the 20th chapter, and he's loosed in the 9th chapter. You got to bind him before you can loose him, ladies and gentlemen. Therefore, the compilers, or the translators, as they have compartmentalized the Bible into chapters, have erred greatly by placing scriptures out of context, and we now have a mass of Babylon of confusion in the word of Yahweh. My heavens, praise Yahweh, as we try to unravel this great mystery. Remember, the Bible says, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. I saw the fifth angel. We talked about it in our series of the blowing of the trumpets. He fell from heaven to the earth, and to him, listen now, Satan and his angels were bound for 1,000 years. Now we're fixing to loose him on the command of Yahweh. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. For was Satan taken? According to the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, he was bound in the bottomless pit, and a chain or a restraining order, wherever he was put and placed, he was commanded to stay there for 1,000 years before he could be loosed. And then the angel, this is Michael, the war angel of Yahweh, and those that assisted him in conquering Satan and his angels. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Satan is going to be loosed upon the earth after the 1,000 years is finished. We'll prove that the 1,000 years has just now been finished, and we are now getting ready for the last days. Don't get ready for a 1,000-year reign. You better get ready for the reign of terror that is coming according to the prophecies of the Bible from the air. An invasion, yes, ladies and gentlemen, not of this earth, but from extraterrestrial origin. Satan and his angels coming soon to a neighborhood near you. Now, these angels will be able to heal. These angels will be able to perform great miracles. They will not be seen as angels. They will look like ordinary, yes, ladies and gentlemen, ordinary men. And you wouldn't know the difference, except these are those that have ability to function within the fourth dimension and exercise their power to come into the fifth dimension, or I'm sorry, the third dimension where flesh and blood dwells. Therefore, they're able to take upon themselves bodies of flesh and deceive in the end time the very elect. He opened, verse 2, as we continue, you better stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. This is the most valuable information perhaps you'll ever receive other than the name of Yahweh in salvational deliverance. And he opened the bottomless pit. There, the angel now comes down after the 1,000 years, opens the bottomless pit, and there came out of that pit these demonic beings that will wreak havoc upon the earth, and they will begin to torment and to capture or to deceive all those, with the exception, here is it is in verse 4. I have hammered on this for 2 weeks. Let me hammer it one more time. Only those who have the seal of Yahweh in their forehead will not be affected by Satan and his hordes as they come upon the earth. Why? Because Yahweh will give us, here it is, in the 11th chapter and the 18th verse, the nations were angry. That's the peoples, ladies and gentlemen. And thy wrath, O Yahweh, is come, and the time of the dead, the end time, the last resurrection. There's already been one, and the Bible only speaks of one more. If you put the 1,000 years into the future, you got to have a resurrection for them, and then they shall reign 1,000 years. Listen to me, but we'll find out where those 1,000 years was reigning and who with in the time that we have allotted here tonight. Listen, that they should be judged. And you should give reward to thy servants, the prophets, to them that fear your name, both small and great, and that you should destroy them which destroy the earth. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Satan, that old serpent, the devil, as he was in the 9th chapter of the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 9, he prevailed not, neither was there found any place. And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, the devil. Now, when he was cast out of heaven, he was bound for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. After this 1,000 years is finished, I told you, 1996, according to my prediction, Satan was loosed and began to wreak havoc. Around 1948, he became a force to reckon with as his children began to take power upon the earth. I'm talking about the Canaanites, the serpent's seed, the descendants of these fallen ones, the evil Nakash, the old serpent, the devil, cast out, and his angels were cast out with him. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against them that dwell in heaven and those that had the name of Yahweh. Revelations 15, I saw as it were a fire or a sea of glass, and I saw them that had gotten the victory over the beast. How do you get the victory over the beast? You get his name sealed in your forehead. And that's the only antidote for this evil, terrible beast that will come upon the earth in the latter days to deceive the whole world, and over his image and over his mark, which is the number of his name, and the number of his name. Praise Yahweh. Remember that, ladies and gentlemen. Quickly now to the 17th chapter. Remember now, we see in the 9th chapter, Satan has the chain restraint removed. Here in the 17th chapter, which is a wonderful chapter of information, we will particularly be concerned with this verse as we read in verse 8. Revelation 17, verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. There he is, ladies and gentlemen. The chain was loosed in the 9th chapter. He was bound in the 20th chapter. And those chapters are in, see, people read according to the way it's been put in the Bible. They get all mixed up. They don't understand. They're, unless you have a preacher that's anointed with the Holy Spirit, and most of the world don't want that for sure, because these preachers preach that it is essential for you to repent and to be baptized in the name of Yahweh. You'll not hear any identity preachers other than Pastor Buddy that I know of that'll get on national radio and teach you what you must do to be saved. Well, here we come down at the bottom of the hour. Pastor Buddy loves the name of Yahweh. He's not ashamed of it, and he'll tell you how to get salvation. Stay tuned. The second half is coming up. In 2 minutes, I'll be back to give you the rest of the story about the thousand-year reign. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're on the thousand-year reign. Quickly, again, let me repeat Revelation 17, verse 8. Remember, Revelations 20, 1 and 2, we read that Michael and his angels bound Satan and his angels for 1,000 years. In the 9th chapter of the book of Revelations, we find that Michael and his angels, then after the 1,000 years had expired, that they loosed the angel from the bottomless pit, Satan. Here in 17 verse 8, look now, as we look into Babylon, this is a chapter of the great mystery of the whore. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. Now, that means that he will go behind the scenes of the world government, for with whom the kings of the earth will commit fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth will be made to drink the wine of her fornication. Notice, I saw this drunken woman with the blood of the saints, as men were scorched with great heat, according to 16:9, with great heat, that is, the gospel will begin to be preached, and they blasphemed the name of Yahweh, which had power over the plagues, but they repented not, and they blasphemed Yahweh of heaven. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Satan is coming. He's angry that people would choose Yahweh over him. And that's exactly why that Satan is coming, knowing, for it says, woe into the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan is going to come down among you, knowing that he has but a short time to work. For he will gather in the last days to battle against the great day of God. And he gathered them together in a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. It's coming to a neighborhood near you. Now, back to the 20th chapter, as I show you the sequence of the 1,000 years has already been fulfilled now in the past. It is not a future event as the bell box preachers, and most of the identity preachers, I might add, are lost in the haze of this fog. They don't understand because they don't fast. They don't pray. They smoke cigarettes, and they drink, eat, and they're merry as they go about daily to earn a living with the gospel. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is for salvation, not a living, material thing upon the earth. We are preaching those that preach the love of Yahweh, and we've got many identity preachers that I'm proud of that are not fitting into the mold. I'm not including all there, because there's many of the identity preachers that are preaching the revelation of truth with all they know. And that's the case here tonight. I'm preaching what I know. And it goes against the grain of tradition every time. 20th chapter, verse 5. But the rest of the dead, after the 1,000 years were fulfilled, the rest of the dead lived not again till the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now, notice, after the first resurrection, what will happen? When Satan, verse 7, when the 1,000 years are expired, here it is, the key to the mystery of the 1,000-year reign. When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. I showed you in the 9th chapter of the book of Revelation. I showed you in the 17th chapter that he was loosed, and when he's coming, he's going to gather all of the government system together into one, and he's going to wreak havoc in the last day against the truth and the true prophets and the believers of Yahweh. Notice as we read verse 8. He shall go out after he's loosed, after the 1,000 years are expired, and people think that Christ is going to come back and reign here for 1,000 years. What's he coming back for? People say, well, to teach us how to live at peace with one another. The multiculturalism that we've established as truth upon the earth will be expounded, and we will see it put to perfection, because God loves everybody. Bless God. Hallelujah. Well, let's see what it says here. After the 1,000 years are expired, Satan will go out to deceive the nations. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, there has never been a time perilous as today. Tonight we sit under the threat of nuclear warfare upon this planet, fire and brimstone falling across the world. Nations are now ready to lift the war sword against one another. We are in perilous times. Remember the sword of Ishmael. It shall break the yoke and the dominion of the Gentile world, and they shall have the dominion according to the book of Genesis, chapter 27, verse 40. Oh, that's a fearful prophecy, brother buddy. I just wish you hadn't brought it up. Because you know God's chosen people is going to win the war. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that ain't what the Bible says. That ain't what it says there. Even Israel, blind, fighting on the wrong side, many of them shall be deceived. Notice what Yahweh has got to say about those blind ones. Praise Yahweh. I know that the scriptures are true, that even those, he said, that would not that he should reign over them, that they should be brought before him and slayed. Praise Yahweh. And so the truth will prevail. And finally, one of these days, Jacob Israel shall wake from his long sleep and wipe the sleep from his eyes and anoint his eyes with eye salve, which is the gospel of truth in the final judgment of the end time scenario. Notice this. The rest of the dead live not till the 1,000 years, and then Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Now, he shall go out to deceive the nations. What's he doing right now? One of the greatest deceptions that this earth has ever had perpetrated upon it is our reasons for being at war tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, the truth must prevail. We must preach the truth. Under this code of patriotism, we have a diabolical plot to take over and to bring in one world rule and an order that has been on the table for 100 years. and maybe even 200 years, because when this nation was established, go back to Washington, D.C., and look at the city as it's laid out in a satanic symbol of a Freemasonry as they gathered the forces of evil under the guise of Christianity. You see your deceivers, ladies and gentlemen, could be sitting next to you in a three-piece business suit in Sunday school, dropping their pennies into their little take-up as they go around deceiving the very elect. They shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth to gather them to battle. We're coming up to the final assault, and the Ishmaelite sword shall be upon this nation and this world, as the prophecies of Genesis 27:40 begin to come under scrutiny from this prophet to tell you that they went out upon the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints. You see, the church has not been raptured out, ladies and gentlemen. The final Armageddon battle, the saints are still here. And Satan is doing his best to deceive the very elect. Now, remember, they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, quickly, I'm going back to Matthew chapter 27. I'll get into this in full text tomorrow night as we finish up the 1,000-year reign, if possible. I'm telling you, there is so much in this. It is so good. It is so rich and it's so deep. I pray that you fast and pray for comprehensional understanding for this message. I have fasted days upon days, end upon end, drinking nothing but a little branch water in the mountains of East Tennessee, praise Yahweh, 40 days at a time to get this revelation as my soul was hungry for the truth and the revelation. And when I got it, the Bible said, with knowledge comes sorrow. The people that I used to love, the people that used to love me, the people that used to walk with me no more. My own family deserted me. I had no friends upon the earth. I felt alone. I felt stressed. I felt in peril of my life. Well, that's exactly what the apostles felt when they were preaching the true divine revelation of who Jacob Israel really is. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the time of trouble such as the world has never seen. Praise Yahweh. Now, we are in Matthew chapter 27. I'm going to prove to you that somebody got up in the first resurrection. Everybody thinks that Christ arose. Have you ever read where many that slept in the graves got up with him? Well, welcome to truth, Shepherd's Call. Praise Yahweh. And verse 50 of Matthew chapter 27. The Messiah, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost and died on the torture stake of the evil Nakash, the Canaanites that killed him. And the Greek says, Father, forgive them not. The King James Bible, ladies and gentlemen, has been mistranslated. If you don't believe it, get you a Greek Bible and read the English interpretation and go back to the Greek and read it again, and you'll see that he said, Father, forgive them not, for they know what they do. And yet we've got these John 3:16ers running all over the country trying to save everything in sight to drag them into their assemblies and make them 2-4 more the child of hell than they were to begin with. It's only the true blues, ladies and gentlemen, and this message out here on the street. See, we're not welcome in any assembly across America. I've been thrown out of everyone in the state of Tennessee almost and surrounding states, praise Yahweh. Everywhere I go, I'm met with disrespect. I have no honor among them, the bell box ministers, as they have their agenda and they teach a teaching of tickling the ear. And the graves were open. Notice this. After he yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple, you know why it was rent from top to bottom, to show you that the hands of man didn't tear it open. The other reason, the underlying reason that the veil was ripped from the top to the bottom, after 400 years of Israel being in subjection to the Canaanite Pharisees that were in rule in the Sanhedrin court, praise Yahweh, was to show them purposely and plainly that there was no Ark of the Covenant behind the veil. Oh, my. You mean, buddy, that there was no ark there, and they were down there worshiping, and they were giving their blood? That is right. And the blood was taken and poured behind the veil into a vat, and probably drunk, if the truth's known. According to Luke chapter 13, verse 1, the blood of the Israelites were mixed with these very sacrifices by the bloodthirsty Canaanite that were ruling in the Sanhedrin. Here it is. The veil was rent from top to bottom. No ark there. Remember, Christians, these Jews are liars. You remember, I told you so in the book of Revelations, chapter 2:9-3:9. You can't trust them. Christ couldn't trust them. He ripped the veil to show that there was no ark of the covenant there for the prayers and the offerings to be accepted through the ark. And that was the Mosaical covenant. Praise Yahweh. Verse 52. Here's the key. My, how time has flown, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves. Here it is. Here it is. Came out of the graves after his resurrection. Now, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow night we'll get on the bride process. Isn't it wonderful that these that came out with him after his resurrection is a perfect bride type? Who were they? Get my tape on the 144,000 seal with the name of Yahweh. You'll find out who they were, why that they were chosen as the first ones to shed their blood when the Messiah was born. Herod, that old Nahash, Canaanite of the Sanhedrin, went out and slew 144,000 Israelites and the 10 northern nations of Israel in Galilee, slayed them. And they became first martyrs for Yahweh Shua when he came upon the earth. These are the ones worthy. The Bible said they were beheaded. Herod beheaded all of the male children from 2 years old and down. They shed their blood, the first ones to give their blood for the divine name of Yahweh and for his cause. Many of these came out of the resurrection after his resurrection, followed them out, and appeared in the holy city. Not that place where he was crucified, which is called Sodom in the scriptures of Revelation. We'll tune that in for you tomorrow night. Now, quickly, we're going back to the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew as we begin to read. Now, listen, and the Messiah said that Elijah would first come. But notice the Bible said that he's already come, and notice in the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, let me read, after that Moses and John, Elijah, was resurrected, right from my tape, John the Baptist was the reincarnation of Elijah upon the earth. The truth will set you free, praise Yahweh, for those that can receive it. Here it is now. After those days, here comes the Messiah down from the mountain, after he resurrected Moses and Elijah, John the Baptist, if you will, and they were talking about him, or to him, about his soon coming death on the torture stake. Remember now, in the book of Jude, that the devil, when he got a chance for the body of Moses, he contended with Michael and the archangels for the body of Moses, and that is where the final straw. Michael and his angels begin to wage war. They cast him out of heaven and put a seal upon him for 1,000 years. Notice verse 12. I'll prove it to you that the war was going on while the Messiah was on earth. And from the days of John the Baptist, from the days that John began to preach, until now, when Christ was speaking at that very day as he came off the mountain, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violence takes it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah, John the Baptist, which was to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to leave it here tonight. We look forward till tomorrow night. We will try to wrap it up for you and take you through the resurrection, take you through the process. Open your eyes. This is Eyesight for the Believers. Truth that you've never heard before, Pastor Buddy is unfolding it for you tonight. You won't get this at your local bell box, Assembly. You won't get this at many of the identity meetings because they don't have any knowledge of it themselves. They've not paid the price to preach the gospel. I preach it free of charge. We do need your help. We do need our voice to go around the world. And tonight, let me tell you how to contact me. I need your help. This is an urgent appeal for you to help Pastor Buddy. I have just a few folks every month that sends me their tithes and their love offerings. I pray and fast for them. Twice a month, I go on to the altar and bow my knee and remember those and call out their names, praise Yahweh. And we do it on every new moon, which we consider a sacred Sabbath according to Numbers 29:1, and also in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 46, verses 1 and 2. We still keep the commandments, ladies and gentlemen. You see, we're not sayers, we're doers. We got a lot of these Christian identity preachers. They go around talking the talk, but they don't walk the walk. They have never been on an altar. They've never bowed the knee on a holy day. They don't even know when a holy day comes. They never look up. All they're interested in is getting your money and your support that they themselves might become. Yes, they are caught under the idol worship, if you will. Praise Yahweh. Many people worship these preachers as they go around from city to city, jetting first class around the city to preach or to sell their wares to them that are unaware. Well, this message is to get you aware that not everything that says Yahweh is got the truth. Let me assure you that the truth is precious in those days. It's a fountain for hearing the word. Simply write Pastor Buddy. Tuck a little love offering in there and say, Pastor Buddy, I admire your courage. You're preaching in the face of opposition. Yes, we are. Praise Yahweh, we're teaching the truth. Thus saith Yahweh, you'll bow to it one of these days. We'll all have to bow to the truth. And the Bible said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Simply write me, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. Let me give you my telephone number, area code 423-626-2172. Write me up tonight and tell me that you have been skinned. And this is the mule skinner here, praise Yahweh. And you've got the blues, and I've got the cure. That is repentance and baptism in the name of Yahweh, if you want to. If you don't, see you on down the road at the judgment where you will say, well, we piped to you, but you didn't dance. This is Thursday night, October the 25th. We keep you in prayer. Those of you that write me and call me, like I say, I call your name out twice a month as we go on our altar on the new moon and the full moon. The other Sabbaths we keep personally as worshipers of our Father, and on those dates we call out the names of Jacob Israel. And ladies and gentlemen, since we've been going on the altar, I can tell you things have been shook in the heavens. And we have witnesses, hundreds of witnesses that can tell you the same thing, that there is a great shaking in the land of Israel, which is the scattered sheep abroad, not that Israelite land, but the nation of Jacob Israel. Well, our time has come and gone. This is Pastor Buddy. I've certainly enjoyed being with you tonight, sharing the truth. My love sent out to you tonight, Bell Truth Radio, to Jacob Israel, those that are scattered abroad. May Yahweh richly bless you. See you tomorrow night on part two of the thousand-year reign.
Join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.